make both mine and my husband's life easier.
As a urological surgeon, I highly recommend Men's Liberty. It's simply the best option available, and I've seen how it changes lives.
Men's Liberty is covered by Medicare and most major health insurance plans. Say goodbye to painful catheters, expensive diapers, and embarrassing accidents, odors, or infections. Call 888-827-7549 to receive a free week's supply with your order. Call 888-827-7549. That's 888-827-7549. 888-827-7549.
The White House is responding to reports that one of Donald Trump's sons had a meeting with a Russian lawyer who was linked to the Kremlin. Here's more from Mark Mayfield.
The New York Times reported on Sunday that a spokesman for Trump's legal team said the president was not aware of and did not attend the meeting between Donald Trump Jr. and the Russian attorney. Trump Jr. admitted he met with the woman in June 2016, and she told him she had information that individuals connected to Russia were funding the Democratic National Committee and supporting Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. He says her claims were vague, ambiguous, and made no sense, and that she had no supporting details or information.
A wake's being held today in the Bronx, New York, for a murdered New York cop.
20,000 people are expected to pay their final respects to Miyasota's familia, gunned down inside a mobile command center last week. The 48-year-old officer leaves three children behind.
That's Sarah Lee Kessler reporting from New York. Remember, you can find us online anytime at usaradio.com.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn for pre-1933.com. I've been the single biggest BBB, backer, believer, and buyer of gold for over 15 years. But now I've found a better way to buy gold. I found the Uber of gold. This company, pre-1933.com, will forever change the way gold is sold. Pre-1933.com is a wholesaler of pre-1933 gold. They have no salesmen, zero commission, prices no one can compete with. Call 855-PRE-1933. That's toll-free, 855-773-1933, or go to pre-1933.com.
NASA's Juno spacecraft will be getting up close and personal with Jupiter's giant red spot today. The probe's to fly about 5,600 miles over that centuries-old storm. 1 year after the unsolved murder in Washington, D.C. of a Democratic National Committee staffer, his family's honoring his memory today. Here's Nick Bovey with more.
The family of Seth Rich issued a statement this morning thanking supporters and police enforcement for trying to find his killer. The 27-year-old was fatally shot while walking home on July 10, 2016. Conspiracy theorists have speculated Rich's murder is tied to the email leaks of several Democratic Party elites, a claim vehemently denied by his own family. A vigil will be held at 4 o'clock this afternoon on Capitol Hill.
In some business news, Bass Pro Shops' acquisition of Cabela's could take a major step toward completion this week, as Cabela's stockholders are expected to vote on the sale tomorrow. Bass Pro Shops announcing last October that it would acquire Cabela's. Cabela's and Bass officials announcing last week that the Federal Trade Commission had approved the sale after concluding its investigation of the deal. And Republican men from the Northeast who use credit cards are likely the best tippers when going out to dinner. People who belong to at least one of those groups tend to tip their servers at least 20%, according to new research from Princeton and CreditCards.com, which surveyed about 1,000 Americans. Here's a tip for you. Find us online anytime at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
Local weather here at HuntertonChamberRadio.com for Flemington, the surrounding area. It's 72 outside right now. May have some showers passing through later in the afternoon. Otherwise, sunny, high in the mid-80s. Cloudy on the overnight, low in high 60s. Tuesday, looks like a chance of showers and thunderstorms later in the morning. May produce gusty winds and heavy rain. High could reach the 90s. Tuesday night, chance of showers and thunderstorms early in the morning. Again, Wednesday, on a chance of showers and thunderstorms, chance of precip about 40%. Going into Wednesday night, again, chance of showers and thunderstorms. Looks like the same Thursday, Friday. Looks like a little bit of rain every day. Weekend looks good, high in the 80s. Things should clear up by then. Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Hey, welcome to Chef Bill's Table. I'm your host, Bill Kinslow, chef at Jake's here in Flemington, New Jersey, serving the community for over 26 years. We get together every Monday or on Rewind or on podcast, talk about food, beverages, techniques, once in a while a real cool recipe, and we've been featuring Peter Nercio from Black River Spice and Tea Company up in Old Wick. Normally the second Monday of each month, we kind of go into a couple of broad topics about spices. And today we'd like to talk about spice rubs and what they are and how they're used. Just as an aside, at the restaurant, at the history of Jake's, I opened with Stephen Little's father, Jack. And now Stephen, of course, is the owner. His family had an operation called the Wiener King. Actually, there were five restaurants at one point. It was before all the hamburger chains, it was the place to go, local Texas Wieners, burgers. And they had a burger called the King Burger. Well, we brought that back. Of course, we've updated it. And apparently back then, the cheese that was used was Cheese Whiz. And they also put those on the hot dogs if you wanted. And what I did is made a homemade Cheese Whiz. No flour, and it's all cheese, cream, and a little seasoning. And we're putting that on a burger with a brioche roll and some of our onion strings. We make our own fry sauce. So it's worth checking out. We launched it this weekend and call it the King Burger. Schweid & Sons certified Angus beef, which we've always used. And check it out. So, Pete, welcome.
Hi, how you doing, Bill?
All right. How's your summer so far?
So far, not so hot, which is good.
Oh, we're not getting that like 90 plus for 10 days in a row.
It's coming.
Right, soon enough. So today, we're talking about rubs, and I'd asked Pete earlier if it was really traditionally American, because you see that a lot with barbecue. So that's kind of what we all think of, you have a dry rub, wet rub, whatever. And also, I think Pete wants to talk about is your cooking method, whether you're grilling, whether you're roasting, whether you're barbecuing, and the effect that different rubs would have on that, and also what to use and not to use. A quick example, at Jake's, for instance, our Jake's steak, Cajun spice, it's a rub. We do rub it into the meat. I think that's the difference between a rub and a seasoning. is you actually do work the spices into the surface of the meat. And probably, when I see the barbecue guys, like brisket, got a lot of fat on it.
That's right.
And they put the rub on there, but normally, a lot of times, they'll let it sit overnight.
You brine it, like with brisket. One of the first things they do is they tend to brine it for a day or so before.
Well, brining, but not liquid, though, just to...
No, actually, soak it in a brine solution. Then they take it out, pat it dry, and then they begin their barbecue. At least some techniques in barbecuing, in fact, will pre-brine the raw meat.
You would actually brine first. Yeah, I see that. A lot of people are doing that, obviously, chicken and turkeys and pork, because we have lean pork, so we want to put some... And the thing with brining, what I learned was there's a whole cycle of brining. If you brine too quickly, you've actually drawn moisture out of the meat, the osmosis, because nature's seeking its own equilibrium. You're wanting salt on both sides of the equation there.
But the reverse is that, yes, you're pulling moisture out, but you're then pulling salt in.
But then it reverses. But I've pork chops, I've brined for like a couple of hours, and they just seem to be a little...
softer.
Well, they're drier, but then 2 or 3 hours later, they soften back up. The osmosis goes the other way. But the dry rubs become almost like a dry marinade if you're doing them overnight. What about, and my thought also, because of the salt and pepper, I mean the salt and sugar content, right? Because you're going to go over some rubs with us.
You were mentioning earlier that whether it was an American thing. And it, like so many other foods, it's gotten Americanized.
Okay.
I mean, you can say that about pizza. Originally it was Naples, but now, you know, pizza that people know as pizza is an American thing, you know. So, and the same with using rubs and cooking food. I mean, throughout history, people have taken herbs and spices and worked it into the meat or stuffed the meat and then cooked. But this whole thing where you make it into a science, that's been an American thing.
Well, yeah, we tend to adopt something and then, you know, refine
it.
Yeah, well, we call it perfect. But, well, what happened, I mean, here too, this hemisphere is not really laden with spices. The original journey here was to look for spices, of course, stumbled on something totally different. But what we contributed was a ton of great vegetables that the Europeans then embraced and perfected.
The Italians
with the tomato, and you got the French with the potato. You know, the things that went over there got, and the Spanish with their cuisine, what they've done with the pepper that we talked about. So those come from our hemisphere. But as far as what they were looking for, the black pepper and the exotic spices.
They had to go to India for that, right?
So they
figured instead of heading east, maybe they can make three lefts instead of one right.
Yeah.
Head west and just keep going till you bump into it. And so eventually they ran into the United States and South America and the Caribbean. So it sort of got in their way.
So when we think of these spice rubs, I think a classic would be we were talking about the jerk seasoning.
Jamaican jerk, for example.
Jamaican jerk, and jerk is really like they're barbecuing. And I've seen, we have jerk spice that has the allspice and thyme and everything in it.
Mm-hmm.
And we've sprinkled it on, say, for quick grilling or cooking. And it's tasty, but when you make the wet rub, let's call it, more like a paste, and let it sit overnight, it's much, much better.
The paste does two things. It continually moistens the meat as you're cooking it. Like if you barbecue and you have it in a slow cook, it keeps the meat moister longer. And as long as you constantly paint, you know, they have those brushes that look like mops.
They call them mops. Yeah.
As long as you maintain the moisture, the food cooks without drying out.
Right, because they say especially salt can dry the meat.
Salt can dry, well, it's a desiccant.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, in fact, it does two things, though. Salt, and I think we brought this up, I guess, in another time.
We've got a break for a little message from one of our sponsors, a couple of our sponsors anyway, and we'll be back at the table talking about the spices.
Ricky, don't lose that number.
Ricky, don't lose that number.
Ricky, don't lose that number.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm your ice cream man, stop me when I'm passing by.
It's time to visit Pambee's, the newest ice cream shop in town. Pambee's Purely Delicious ice cream, gelato, and sorbet made in Hunterdon County from unique blends of natural extracts, herbs, and spices. Created with a rich, creamy texture bursting with flavor. Tickle your palate with exotic flavors such as rose cardamom, hot mango, and ginger lemon. Or satisfy your craving for dark chocolate, pecans, and caramel. Located on Route 31 south of Clinton. Pambee's Purely Delicious.
See, now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
If I can reach the stars, pull one down for you, shine it on my heart, so you could see the truth, and this love I have inside.
All right, we're back at the table here. Pete's going to tell us, we're going to go into barbecue rubs here. So, Pete, you were mentioning during the break that there's kind of a, if you're trying to make your own, there's kind of a formula for rubs.
Right, right. You know, again, this is a, what most people are familiar with is the Americana style. There are a couple of formulas for American style rubs. Probably a lot of people are familiar with the Alton Brown ratios. For instance, he says that you should have 8 parts of a sugar to 3 parts of a salt to 1 part of a red pepper, could be paprika, and 1 part of your herbs and spices. So that's a common formula. There is also another formula that's not so sweet because not everybody wants that much sugar. And a lot of southern style, like North Carolina.
Well, the Texas seems to be where they almost don't have any sugar.
Yeah.
That's really, even in the sauce, is, you know, if you use sauce in Texas, you're not supposed to, but sometimes it's just the meat drippings and, you know, maybe.
Okay, yeah.
They kind of abhor the sauce thing, but when you see it, usually it's got, jalapenos or some chilies, you know. But they their rubs tend to be almost sugar-free.
Right. Right.
And oftentimes, as I say, I just put salt and pepper on and let the smoke do its work. I guess that depends then on your wood and the whole thing.
Now you're not a rub anymore. You're just seasoning.
Just seasoning, right? So even if you rub salt and pepper in and let it sit for a while, would that be considered then a rub?
That's a good question. I would say that a rub is defined by the technique you use rather than the spices. As long as you're using it in a technique to work flavor in, then you're making a rub. So you could use, for example, pepper and salt, but you could use a seasoned salt that's already pre-seasoned, you know, and then there's quite a bit of that.
Smoked salt.
Yeah. There's all kinds of salt. You got chili-flavored salt, so lots of them. And, you know, you can even get them that are lime or lemon in there. But anyway, the point is that the technique is really the what it's named for, that you're working the flavor into the meat, and you are using a certain technique, whether you're grilling or barbecuing, to make sure that you're getting the best out of that meat when you cook it.
Okay, so, because I was, in my mind, okay, because I've cured before. I do dry cures, and there's wet cures, just like there's, you know, dry and wet rubs. And you were mentioning before about brining, curing for pork belly especially, but any
cheap
meats.
Usually cheap, you know, good. The best barbecue comes from the cheapest cuts.
Yeah, well, that's what we were left with, you know.
So that's what happens when the part of the brining adds salt. You mentioned that it dries. It would actually dry if you put salt on no liquid, just salt. You know, when you salt pork or you salt beef.
Well, that's what I'm saying with a dry cure, and I do that. I've done it with pork belly where it's salt and sugar, 50-50.
Yeah, you can do that.
And
sugar too.
Rub it in and let it sit overnight, and you'll see the liquid come out. But that's you're actually trying to do that because part of it was for preservation. So you're trying to reduce the
amount
moisture
of moisture because then bacteria doesn't grow in anything that's not moist.
Yeah, and then the natural of the smoke, the nitrogen, that's, you know, the atmosphere, that's what also helped with the preservation.
But the brining actually won't dry the meat. It'll actually salt the meat. What'll wind up happening, and this is, you're talking about osmosis and things. Yeah. What winds up happening is things go from higher concentration. This is the chemist in
me
now.
Yeah.
They go from higher concentration to lower concentration. So. If you were to get I don't know if you've ever done this, but you can take fresh water, and you can, if you're careful about how you pour it, you can layer salt water on top of it, because salt water is not as dense.
Right.
Okay. You might have seen mixed drinks where they have the different layers.
Well, that's the sugar. Yeah, the sugar content. Yeah, the Puss Cafe where you layer the.
But if you leave
densities.
Those two things alone, they will not stay indefinitely separated. They will eventually commingle. And what winds up happening is, the section that has, no salt in it will move into the section that does have salt in it. So you'll get the meat, which has less salt than the brine.
Right.
Meat will begin to release its fluid into the brine solution. But at some point, it comes back and equilibrates.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole thing equilibrates. But when it comes back, it brings the salt with it.
Yes.
So now you got the salt in the meat.
And that retains moisture at that point.
If you take salt and you put it on the kitchen table in a humid day, it clumps because it's grabbing moisture out of the air.
Right.
So, that's what will happen. You'll wind up adding moisture by adding the salt that grabs moisture. So when you do things like...
But
like
you need the proper amount of timing because, I say, if you take it out of the brine too early, it's not... Good.
You need that
certain amount of time, depending on the thickness of the product.
It's the thickness. Everyone's got a formula.
Yeah,
you know that's
like
the corned
beef. You'll cure that for brine that for a week, or 10 days sometimes because it's a bigger piece. Where a pork chop or a half a chicken might be a matter of hours, and it's done its work.
Exactly. I'm not that I'm in the know, but I would say that, you know, if you go to these barbecue competitions,
right,
a lot of these guys that they have their meats, their slabs of meat, they've been preparing that stuff a week before the competition. You know, they're buying it, they're brining it, they're getting it ready for day of competition, you know?
Yeah, and I see that. Well, I like to watch the competitions where they just open it fresh and then But they use injection, which is a lot of, like, our bacon is done that way.
That's cheating, yeah.
Yeah. So instead of, like, when you get a good smokehouse, like when I make pork belly and you're doing, obviously not putting the nitrites in there for the color, it's different than when you get a, you know, like an inexpensive supermarket bacon that's all flabby, and they do it by injection, or even the corned beef. So they have the needles there, and it shoots the brine in there. Yep. And then the vacuum tumbler speeds up that process so they can do it quickly because time is money.
Yep.
But the old way, you say, wow, it's going to sit for that many days. But I know that the cure, like I say, when you're doing salmon for gravlax, salt and sugar. And sometimes you'll have your dill will be your wild card or whatever flavor you want. But that's going to, that smoked salmon, or cured salmon rather, is kind of leathery. It's, that's why it's sliced very thinly.
Right.
There's enough, you're leaving this, the fat in there, you're getting the liquid out. And of course, the flavor intensifies. So,
that's sort of interesting. But to say that rubs are a science, like we said earlier, you can take that even further.
And, okay.
People have actually analyzed what is it about a rub that makes it so good. And you can talk about rubs as having three elements, and usually in American cuisine, a fourth. We said it before, it's salt, that's right. One part of them. Some kind of sweetener. It doesn't have to be a brown sugar, it could be molasses, it could be a turbinado type of sugar, cane sugar even. And then you've got a flavorant, something that you're using to give it a flavor, and that even gets split too.
Mm-hmm.
You have what's called a savory ingredient,
okay,
and you have a cuisine identity ingredient. So a savory ingredient is going to be something that just imparts an added boost to the flavor. Things like parsley, garlic, onion.
I was going to say onion and garlic would be your basic.
Those are basic in Americana.
Yeah.
But then from there, you use your spice to give it identity. So whether you're doing a Kansas City style, you use certain spices. If you're doing Texas, it's another thing. If you're doing Jamaican, it's another thing. You know, allspice and Jamaican, for example. So you have your flavor boosters and your identity spices, or the spices that make it this style or that style.
So you're saying you could have a basic, say for flavor or say the savory side, you could have a basic rub made up, and then you could just take some of that rub and throw an identity to it. Because you still need your salt, let's say your salt, your sweetener, and your onion, garlic.
There might be some differences in the amounts of, you know, of sugar and salt that certain rubs have. Whether or not you can have a blank base that you can just, you know, like when you go to the paint store, it's white paint and they just add the color.
Right.
I don't know if you can do that. Just add whatever color you want to your rub to make it taste like a certain identity. Because there are subtle ratio differences.
Okay.
But it is sort of that idea. It is sort of that idea where if you want an Americana type, you're going to be using chilies, white pepper, thyme, rosemary, cayenne. You know, and if you want Middle Eastern, you're probably going to use cardamom and clove and ajwain or cumin. You know, and if it's Oriental, it's going to be things like star anise, cinnamon, clove, fennel. You know, so that's how you take that rub and you move it into a direction of a cuisine.
So let's say Asian, for example, or Far Eastern, and do they tend to use more rubs or is it more marinades? Because a lot of recipes I see, it always has, you know, you have your soy and you have, that's the salt.
Right.
And then the sugar could be honey. You see that a lot.
Honey, yes. And honey is another option for a sweetener besides brown sugar. I'm no expert in cooking, but I can tell you that a lot of Oriental foods, meats, for example, pork is big, and pork is fatty.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can get away with using sweet spices with fat, because fat and sweet balance.
Always complements pork, whether dried fruit, fresh fruit. Yes, you're
so,
right.
So if you bought a thing of Chinese five spice and you don't know what the heck to do with it, use it as a rub with pork.
Okay, yeah, just and again, Too much fat, of course, you're not going to get that flavor into the meat. So,
well, you rub it in there and you keep it a couple of days.
Yeah. Because even the barbecue guys, they'll take a brisket, they'll trim it down a little bit, even though you want the fat to baste the meat, but mm-hmm. you don't want so much that, because brisket fat doesn't really melt away. You know, that's why, like we said before, they like it grinding burgers, because you've got fat that melts away, and you've got fat that stays in there, and that's why the fancy guys are throwing brisket and short rib into the burger mix, because now you've got some, it's like the marbling in a steak. It was explained to me by a certified Angus butcher. He said, that's why, because I said, why are you taking, you know, better meats and different meats for that? And he said, it's the rate at which the fat melts out.
Huh, I didn't know that.
And I guess, you know, for cooking, is the fat going to melt away or is it going to stay on there? We've got a break for brief news, and we'll be back at the table with Pete. And he makes custom rubs, I believe.
Yes, we do.
And we're going to find out the secret behind that. Chef Bill's Table.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Lawmakers back on Capitol Hill following their July 4th recess, and they're facing again a countdown to get the health care bill passed in the Senate, as they'll be leaving for another break soon enough. Here's more from Joe Gomez.
President Trump tweeted this morning that he, quote, cannot imagine that Congress would dare to leave Washington without a beautiful new health care bill fully approved and ready to go. Speaking to CBS Face the Nation, Senator John McCain isn't optimistic that a health care bill can get passed.
I fear that it's going to fail, and then we should convene a Republican conference and say, what are we going to do?
Lawmakers only have 3 weeks to go until heading home for another break in August.
Healthcare is not all that's on lawmakers' plates. Other key issues, budget talks, Russian sanctions, and confirming a new FBI director. This is USA Radio News.
All day long you hear ads for prostate pills, all promising to end your prostate troubles fast and easy. But how do you know which pills really work and which ones are garbage? The answer is ProstateReport.com. We took every prostate pill on the market, all the top brands, and spent a fortune to have them laboratory tested to see what is really in each brand. The results were jaw-dropping. You'll be shocked when you see what garbage some of the leading brands are really selling you. So go to ProstateReport.com and see the lab reports and reviews the prostate pill companies don't want you to see. Find out which pills really work and which ones are just a big waste of money. This website is already a blockbuster, and right now, this information is still absolutely free. So say goodbye to your prostate problems once and for all. Go to ProstateReport.com. That's ProstateReport.com.
All right, we're back at the Chef Bill's Table here. Pete's going to give us his, he makes some custom blends for chili powder. If you've ever seen chili powder in the store, of course, it's a standard, a little bit of maybe garlic, oregano, and cumin probably are the major things in there. But you don't really know what kind of chilies they are. And it's more often than not mild, but we're finding out when we talk about chilies that there's many different ones, not only heat levels, but whether they're smoked and then dried, or you know, some have a fruit-like quality. Some, you know, it's again, Pete's the science guy. So they develop at Black River their own little custom for you as a customer, or they have his he has his favorite spice rubs that he made. So Pete, you're going to tell us how you do that.
well,
the chemist late at night mixing things up. Secret.
We do a lot of our own rubs, and we haven't really rolled out very many of them yet. But we plan on doing it.
Well, I forget, you're a relatively new company.
Yes, so. we're just since March. So
yes, I keep pushing you on things.
So the thing about being in the spice business is that it's a wide scope. So you've got people that are looking for all kinds of things, and if you want to be a decent spice company, you got to carry it, right? So
sure.
you're looking at 200, 300 items, you know, and it can get very varied.
Will most of your sales be just like the average normal stuff?
The single biggest product we sell is black pepper.
Still, right?
Black pepper throughout the world, and it was on our first show.
Yeah.
Throughout the world, black pepper is the single largest commercially exported product. And consumed product. Matter of fact, in some cases, the country doesn't even get a chance to export any of it because their own people are eating it up. That's like India is an example.
Yeah.
You know, very little of the Malabar black pepper leaves India, and that's why it's more expensive, because the people who live there are eating it as fast as it's being
made.
Yeah,
you see that with I know in some for some wine areas. You know, some of the little known the local wines never leave the area because the consumption is done. Well, it's like stone crabs in Florida. It's hard to get those, the claws, because they, you know, so many of
the
them
locals are eating
down
it.
There. Yeah, so black pepper, but what you would push is then the freshness of it and
well,
the
in the variety,
the size of the grind and the source. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean we
how do you make black
right
pepper different, right?
Well, like you said, the variety we sell lampang, which is Indonesian. We have Kampot black pepper, which is supposedly a boutique-y black pepper,
mm-hmm.
Very floral, very not cheap. We've got Vietnamese black pepper. Right now, we don't have any Malabar Indian black pepper. That's only because they refuse to export it.
Right.
Because the price of pepper has dipped a little, and they're not going to make any money on it, so they've decided they're going to eat it themselves. So, but next year, we're hoping to get we get the Malabar and the Telecherry. But getting back to the rubs, we are certainly beginning to put together our own rubs. And actually, there you know when you talk about rubs, right away you think about meats, but vegetarians out there, hey, there's rubs for you too.
Okay,
you know,
never thought about that.
Gee, if you can make a mushroom burger, then you can put a rub on a mushroom. You know,
right? So
things like fleshy vegetables for grilling. Because I don't think you really barbecue fleshy vegetables.
You mean like your zucchinis?
Zucchini, eggplant.
Eggplant would be great because they're like a sponge.
They're like a sponge.
And anything you want will just, so.
Another one is onion, a red onion, big thick slices. Any kind of squash, butternut, which will behave very much like zucchini. And like I said, mushroom. You get the big portabellas.
Yes.
You know, and you can
yeah, we offer them at the restaurant. Them. It's like a topper for a salad. You grill it, slice it just like a London broil. And
you can put a rub into it and give it flavor.
Yeah, I should look at that just to flavor it up a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. So there are rubs out there for that, too. And what you do
with
it
depends. With a mushroom,
depends.
Though, how does it stay on a mushroom? You have to use a little.
Well, you're actually rubbing it on, right?
You have to add a little oil anyway when you're cooking.
And you have to
them.
Add a little oil so you have some kind of an adhesive. You know, the oil will make things stick. And quite often what you're going to be using for, let's say, a vegetable, grilled vegetable, may not be the exact same things that you're using for meat. So, quite often you'll probably go with more herbal type things in a vegetable rub as opposed to, habanero on your eggplant, you know, or a lot of a coffee rub would go better with a meat, I think, than with a vegetable.
Yeah, you've got to think what you're matching. Yeah, the vegetables you want more of the freshness. We do basically when we're doing them, we make a, I guess you could call it a mop. It's oil and some white wine, some lemon juice, a little bit of shallot, and then an herb mix that we have. Like we usually use like the standard parsley, oregano, basil,
Italian mix,
a little salt and pepper, and we'll use that as a baste when they're or a mop as you know while they're grilling because
they grill, yeah.
Well, it helps flavor them and keeps them a little moist because and vegetables cook quickly, so you're not really overdoing it, but you get because then we'll season them afterwards. When they're still warm, you hit them with the vinaigrette, and then they soak up.
And then it'll soak it up.
But a dry rub, I'm going to try that with a mushroom. And
try it. It's mushrooms have subtle flavor. Now you can add something and give it a twist. You know, how about some tips for people? Maybe you think that might be of any value for people who are doing, like, for instance, how much rub do I put? You ever, you know, someone like, how much do I put?
Yeah, I see some, you know, they throw the meat right in the big bucket and pack it on, and then you see others just shake it, and whatever's left stays. So,
right.
Two extremes.
Right, and I'm more the latter.
Okay.
You know, I would say this, because all rubs are not equal. Some rubs are powder, and some rubs have bits and pieces of things that are not quite powder. You know, like coriander. Sometimes it'll be like cracked.
Okay.
You know, and if you pick it up and shake it, all the coriander is going to roll off. You know, that's so. What you want to do is
if your pepper grind is too coarse, that kind of falls out. You'll see that, and kosher salt really is what you should use, right?
Kosher salt.
You should not use the iodized salt. You need the crystals there.
So what I would recommend to people is that if you have some sort of a rub. And a rub is usually got very fine ingredients and coarse ingredients. Just take a certain amount, rub it on your steak on both sides, shake it. The coarser stuff is going to fall off, and then just regroup the coarser stuff, re-pick it up off of the, if you're using a piece of wax paper, and sprinkle it back on again. At least the amount of fine stuff on there has been mitigated by picking it up and shaking. Because that's another big problem. The finer the rub, the more apt it will stick to the meat.
So, yeah, and I was just going to say, and for consumers, especially in the store, do you get granulated garlic or do you get garlic powder? Now, I use granulated.
Right.
I don't use the powder. It's easier to measure, and it's more like all the other things that I'm using. It's granular. It's like salt.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't buy garlic salt because then you got to worry about too much salt. Garlic salt is, I mean, to me, your salt and your garlic, you don't need the two together.
It makes more sense.
But the granulated, if you can seek that out versus the powder, plus it stays flowing better. The powder can sometimes clump.
Yep.
And
it
you're
does.
Right, with that different density and the different particle size, it's not going to mix evenly with a rub.
It matter of fact, that's the other problem with garlic powder. If anyone has garlic powder in their cupboard, pull it out, open up the cap, and you'll see it's a rock.
Yeah.
You know, it just sucks up moisture. Yeah. And they actually add stuff in there to prevent that from happening. All it does is delays it. It doesn't prevent it.
Yeah, what is it? Silicas.
Yeah. They'll use things like that. Exactly. And they tend to kind of keep the particles, the garlic particles, separated from each other so they don't stick together. That's the point. But you can only add like a percent or a half percent. Otherwise,
right.
you're eating silica, which is glass.
Yeah.
That's a tip.
Telling people too many things here.
So that's a tip, guys. You know, if it's a fine rub, you know, rub it in, pick up the meat, and shake it out. And don't be afraid if it looks like you got a 2 millimeter thick thing of rub on the surface of the meat. Just brush it off with your hands.
You want it to be even.
Fingers.
You don't want like a pocket of.
Yeah, you don't want it to look like you're painting it. You know, you still want to see the meat.
Yeah, because what I like. All right, so like ribs in our restaurant, we use an Altosham slow cooker, reconvector. It's not a smoker, so I use the liquid smoke, which is it's a pure distillate of hickory, which is fine. And I know I've seen tasting things where people can't even tell the difference. But I have my rub, and then I sprinkle it on fairly liberally, and because it's going to be then covered with plastic wrap and not sealed, just protect it, and it's going to go overnight. So that rub's going to have contact, not just the 4 hours of cooking, but it's in a hold pattern for could be another 5 or 6, 7 hours till
it's marinating.
It's so I say, you know, for me, I don't have to rub ahead of time because it's got that extended time in the oven. But I sprinkle it on, but I want to make even, and you still make sure that everything is covered.
Yeah.
I don't pack it on. It's more, and it takes a while. And I need that, you know, the kosher salt, the brown sugar, but everything's it's got to be mixed. The brown sugar can lump sometimes.
The rubbing, sure just the rubbing for people who don't see the point. Normally, barbecue's done better with fatty meats.
Yeah.
I mean, you can barbecue chicken and game, but it's really a technique for pork and fattier meats. So that's the problem, is that you want to rub it in because you want whatever flavor oils are in the spice to dissolve into the fat.
Okay, we're going to break for a couple of messages here, and we'll keep going on this topic here. It's timely because of summertime, right?
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in the Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hey, Big C here, doing a little practicing for the Hunterdon County Chamber's 16th Annual Golf Classic. We're teeing off a Tuesday, October 3rd at Hawk Point Golf Club. The signature sponsor this year is Hunterdon Healthcare. Besides enjoying a great game of golf, this event is an excellent way for you to promote your business via our sponsorship opportunities, silent auction, and networking luncheon. The Golf Classic launches at 8:30 a.m. with registration, breakfast, and a putting warm-up. This scramble format will begin with a shotgun start at 10 a.m. Plus, we will have some exciting contests to enjoy throughout the day. Oh yes, the winning foursome will be presented with the fabulous Hunterdon Cup. Talk about bragging rights. I got you this year, Team ExxonMobil. I'll see you on the first tee.
On into the final quarter hour here of Chef Bill's Table. So, yeah, Pete, we were talking on the break about the differences between how you use rubs, whether you're grilling or barbecuing. Still curious about the coffee rub.
Yeah.
You see sometimes, because coffee, you'd think that you get coffee to too high a temperature, it burns.
It burns, yeah.
And I've made them before, and normally in conjunction with, I think I used ancho chilies. You could grill, but I've even seen techniques where you're cooking steaks in the pan with the coffee rub, and it doesn't really get that. I mean, it's not as strong as you would think the coffee flavor would be.
Right.
It adds some depth to the rub, I guess.
Coffee rubs. We don't make any coffee rubs, but I can tell you that from my experience, coffee rubs tend to be better for barbecuing than for grilling.
Okay.
Remember, grilling is a fast thing.
Right.
You put your coffee rub on there, and if you do it right before you grill, you're not really, and like you said, it's a mild type of thing, flavoring. It's not strong. You're not going to get very much of the flavor leaching into the meat, and so you're going to wind up just seasoning the grill itself rather than.
Yeah, because I would think, say, like in mine, I used an espresso roast, which would be the darkest of the roasts, so you're getting that heavier roasted flavor, and I guess, you know, be good to make a stout barbecue sauce.
That's a good point. You can take if you want to add a coffee flavor, you can take, say, freeze-dried coffee, dissolve it in some water, and then add that to whatever you're using to make a wet rub.
Yeah, I'm saying that it's instant espresso powder. It's still that fine. And again, it's not going to taste like a cup of coffee.
No.
But it just enhances in a way. And I think grilling, too, when you have the hot grates, when your heat source is underneath, it's different than the radiant broilers that the steakhouses have. You're still on grates. You get a little bit of marking, but most of the heat's coming from above.
Right.
You're not getting that constant char. And that's why we start, like our fillets and good steaks like that, we start in the pan. We'll finish them on the grill. But we don't want, especially with a fillet that's so lean.
You want to sear it.
It burns. It gets bitter.
Yeah.
You want it to sear, but you don't want it to be charred.
Right. And that's the key.
Because that bitterness is not good.
That's the key. And actually, good grills, if you buy a barbecue grill, a good grill is going to be one where you have total control over the burners. And I prefer the ones where it's not horizontal. But vertical, so they face
zones.
You up and down, back
yes.
and forth, front mm-hmm. to back, and that way you can take one end of it, shut it off completely, and use it as a radiant heat source, and the other one with the flame on for searing, and so you sear, and then you move it over to the side for the radiant heat.
Yeah, we did barbecues up, we did the call them whirly birds, the chickens. That just, on the big grate, you've got 30 half chickens, and you turn them by hand, go down. You see, a lot of people have automatic, I think it's Pork Chop Barbecue here up on 31. They have the automatic, so he's right over a hardwood fire, and he's roasting these half chickens. And that, you smell, that brings back
that sounds
memories.
Good.
And we would put our sauce on at the end. Theory, we would not do any other seasoning. You're just cooking the chicken over the coal. And then at the end, the last turns, we would hit it with our sauce because even though we didn't add sugar to the sauce, there's still with ketchup, and there's still a lot of sugar in there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you put sauce on too early, it burns, caramelizes, and also can even keep the meat from, especially poultry, can keep it from cooking.
Speaking of poultry, people might want to know this. If you're going to barbecue chicken, and you put a rub on the chicken, we say it has skin, it's not going to do very much. The skin acts as an impenetrable barrier to the meat. That's what skin is supposed to do, is protect the insides of you. So the things you could do, number one, is if you can lift the skin and work it underneath.
Yes, I was just going to say, a lot of times roast chicken, we used to make compound butters. And put a little pad of that under the skin because then as it cooks, it's going to melt. I've done a goat cheese butter, so a little bit of the cheese stays behind underneath the skin.
That sounds nice.
Yeah, so I was going to say, with chicken, if I'm doing a buffet or something, and I'll use the boneless, skinless thighs. And I put my barbecue rub on it and a little dash of liquid smoke, just get them all covered, and they sit overnight. And I'm telling you, I could just roast them in an oven and the smoke permeates that meat.
Oh.
Serve them chilled, sliced on a salad, or just then hit them with some sauce. You can grill them at that point if you want that little charred look. We've done that. But it picks up, because they're small pieces, that overnight
picks
with
the
bar. And you don't need much rub either. I mean, very, you're not rubbing the whole thing down, just a little bit. And there's enough water coming from the poultry to kind of mix it around. You know, we're not using...
No, that's true, though. So, but that's an important thing that people need to know. Is they're going to grill chicken,
try to get the skin under the skin. Otherwise, the skin, and people don't like the skin. I do, but most people
Then the other thing you could do is use a wet rub on if you're grilling chicken, because you have a better chance of having the flavors stick on the meat or on the skin.
Like a Jamaican jerk.
Like a Jamaican jerk, but a wet rub version of it. Yeah. So that way you can keep the flavoring on the chicken. But if you just sprinkle dry rub on chicken with the skin, it's not
especially good. If the skin and the bone, the bones are going to get seasoned well, which you're not going to eat.
Exactly. So you got to get it underneath the skin. That's a tip. You know, that's if you're doing game, wet rubs, not dry rubs.
Right.
Game is got no fat in it.
Yes.
So you need to add moisture. Wet rubs, not dry rubs.
Yeah, I saw we're getting toward the end of the hour. Just for example, we talked about the jerk spice being able to be a dried spice or a wet rub. And I found, chimichurri, the Argentina, the kings of beef down there. They roast whole cows down there. And steak is there. They eat more steak than Americans do.
Oh, do they?
Oh, yeah. So chimichurri, everybody knows, is that nice. It's almost like a parsley pesto.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
we
flat,
make it.
The flat parsley, a little bit of garlic, a little hint of, say, for a bunch of flat parsley, you want a teaspoon of dried oregano. That's that little flavoring in there. A little crushed red pepper flakes, and then a half cup of olive oil, and a little bit of red wine vinegar. Three or so for a half cup of olive oil, maybe 3 or 4 tablespoons of red wine vinegar, and that gets blended. Or down there, you could use a mortar pestle, but it looks like pesto, and that's room temperature, and that's the sauce for meats. It's very fresh, vibrant. You know, you've got the little bit of acid in there. You've got the herbal effect from flat parsley, which is more flavor than the curly.
Right.
But as a rub, that's not really good because you got fresh herb. So for the rub, you're using a tablespoon of salt, tablespoon of oregano, teaspoon of pepper, a teaspoon of hot pepper flakes, a little bit of a couple of cloves of garlic, and you can rub that on the meat, and also then you'd need to add some liquid. You're going to drizzle it with olive oil or hit it with some vinegar or a spray. A lot of places, people use a spray bottle, a little spritz bottle to do that.
Yeah.
You know, and you talk about the mop. That's, you know, for our sauce, each barbecue, we'd buy a fresh mop. And
now, are you spritzing oil or are you spritzing
Normally you're spritzing water or vinegar or something like that. Okay. Say for Carolina, you'd have... you know, like a cider vinegar, maybe some hot pepper in it, you know, just to keep that flavor going.
So you're misting it.
Yes, to keep that moisture going. We're actually to the end of the hour, and it's been, as always with Pete, it's a quick study.
It's fast.
We have a lot of ground to cover, and we get, you know, probably 3/4 of it done, but just tells you the interesting world of spices and herbs out there. So remember Black River Spice and Tea Company in Old Wick, Pete Nercio. Look him up. He's on the web. I'm sure you can follow
him. www.blackriverspice.com.
That's easy enough, right? And Facebook,
we're on Facebook.
Yeah, follow him. Yep. There's lots of good stuff there. Thanks, Pete.
Thank you.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Lawmakers back on Capitol Hill following their